The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. Live in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Booker Tor, very good, thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, it's a little chaotic here in studio, I'm finding, but
it's
hopefully...
like a regular Wednesday, isn't it?
Right, basically. It does seem to be that.
I bring order to the chaos.
Right, exactly. That's how bad, that's how bad it is. Tension increased yesterday on the Temple Mount as an Israeli police station was firebombed. What's going on the Temple Mount? Why are tensions so high at the moment?
It's hard to know exactly what's leading to the tensions on the Temple Mount. And in fact, Israel is accusing the Palestinian Authority of trying to create some sort of a religious war, inciting a religious war on the Temple Mount. And here's the thing about the Temple Mount. Not only is it the holiest site in Judaism, of course, the site of the temples, both temples where both temples stood, and of course where we believe many things happened according to the Torah. On Har Moriah, Mount Moriah, it is believed that that is actually the place where the world was actually originally created from, and therefore it has a certain holiness and relevance to the Jewish religion. But also, of course, it is a holy site in the Muslim religion where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is based, and of course the Al-Aqsa Mosque marks the location from which it is believed the Prophet Muhammad actually took off to heaven on his horse, and therefore this has a certain relevance to the Muslim religion, the third holiest site in Islam. And the thing about Temple Mount is that it is the one thing which unites Muslims around the world, no matter where they come from, no matter which brand of Islam they follow. This Temple Mount is the one thing that seems to unite all of them. And when the relevant Muslims who are active on the Temple Mount feel that they need to create some sort of Muslim unity, then the Temple Mount is definitely the thing that they can use to create unity amongst Muslims. And perhaps that may well be one of the things that lies behind the reason why there is current tension on the Temple Mount. Again, a number of things going on. We've already spoken about the fact that there's been an attempt to open up the gate that has been closed for so many years. The Israeli authorities, of course, are opposing that. But now, of course, there was this Molotov cocktail that was thrown at an Israeli police station yesterday that began something of a riot yesterday afternoon. The Israeli authorities decided to close access to the mosques on the Temple Mount. They closed the Al-Aqsa compound for the rest of yesterday in order to try to calm things down. They did say that it would be open again today to worshippers who wish to attend Al-Aqsa, but yesterday, at least in the afternoon, it was closed. They were also closed the access to various gates. The Damascus gate was closed, and so there was definitely a lot of tension on the Temple Mount yesterday. The Israeli authorities are always trying to calm things down, and of course this comes against the backdrop of the meeting in Washington that was held with the King Abdullah, who is of course the head of the Waqf, and that is a relevant point as well. So it's very, very difficult to know exactly what has been behind all of this tension, but it is certainly very, very concerning, because as I said before, it's something that really does unite Muslims around the world. So the fact that the police had to close access to the Damascus Gate and to the Lion Gate and access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque has really created a lot of tension. And I hope that today things will get back to relative calm on the Temple Mount, because this could certainly be a trigger point for something which is much more significant. And we certainly hope that it doesn't get to that point.
Yeah, very, very scary indeed, especially because it doesn't seem to be a significant or very real trigger point to this. And we have seen reenactment sort of this false outrage on around the Temple Mount.
That's what makes it difficult for the Israeli authorities, in a sense, you know, the Israeli government, because if there was a particular issue, you could address that issue one way or the other. You could really hit it head on and try somehow to calm things down in that way. But here we're seeing just disparate events contributing to an overall lack of security, lack of, and a huge increase in tension on the Temple Mount. And, you know, when you don't have a particular issue to address, it becomes much more difficult to try somehow to calm the situation down. Mm-hmm. A lot of it seems to be, you know, spontaneous by people who go there. But we also know that a lot of the spontaneous action is driven by people behind the scenes. It's being orchestrated in some way. So let's hope that it'll calm down a little bit today, and that things on the Temple Mount will return back to relative normality and quiet.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has indicated that he'd be prepared to consider legalizing the use of recreational drugs. Is this electioneering, or is this something substantive? What's the current legal status of marijuana in Israel?
Well, marijuana status in Israel is very interesting, because on the one hand, the use of marijuana for medical purposes is legal, even though to get permission to use it is not an easy exercise. If you are someone who is needy of marijuana for pain, for management of pain, for people who are ill, there is a process that you have to go through in order to get the relevant permission, and then you have to, of course, find a supplier of medical marijuana. This is legal, but very, very difficult indeed to achieve. And then on top of that, of course, we know that the government has put in place a number of different laws which allow for the export of medical marijuana. And in an interview that was conducted with Likud TV for, of course, electioneering purposes, the Prime Minister was asked about this. And he said that, you know, he was giving serious consideration to the possibility of legalizing use of marijuana for recreational purposes. At the moment, if someone is found with marijuana on their person enough for their own personal use, then they will not be prosecuted for that. That is not considered to be something that's against the law. That's something that the law currently tolerates. However, if there is any indication of drug dealing, then that would obviously be looked upon more seriously. And in fact, we had just yesterday the Israeli police announced that they've arrested 42 people in a marijuana network sting. And interestingly, this has been called the Telegrass affair. And the reason that it's called Telegrass is because apparently these people have been trading in drugs in marijuana, particularly using the instant messaging application Telegram. And so they've taken the Telegram and turned it into Telegrass.
Doesn't Chai FM have a Telegram number?
We do, but we don't do deliveries.
So it's like a takeout.
Right, basically. But yeah,
well, you could do deliveries to the local area. Apparently, you know, the local area, it's okay.
Telegram's main purpose.
What is?
It's drug dealing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a lot of it was sort of military terror, that type of thing. But obviously, it's anything illicit.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so apparently this drug dealing network that was uncovered, and these people who were arrested, and these people go on visits apparently to the Ukraine, and they were also arrests made in Germany and the United States. So it's quite a large ring that's been uncovered. On the same day that all of this has been happening, the Prime Minister is saying he's going to look very, very seriously at the possibility of legalizing marijuana, legalizing recreational drug use. And I think that a lot of this comes against the backdrop of some support that has been expressed for certain members of for certain people who are politicians who are vying for seats in the Knesset. And they have come out very strongly on a platform of allowing recreational drug use, and there seems to have been a lot of popularity, a lot of support for that position, especially from the younger voters, from the millennials. And so the Prime Minister, I think, is trying to tap into that particular vote by expressing the support that he will have a look at this in the new Knesset, in the new government, assuming that he is elected, in order to somehow try to tap in to the support that has been expressed, particularly for someone like Moshe Feiglin, interestingly, who's of course an extreme right winger, comes on a platform of a very, very strong right wing, politics, and yet has supported the use of cannabis and legalization of cannabis. And he seems to have drawn, much more support for his, cannabis position than he has done for his, right wing, political views. And so the Prime Minister, I think, has been tapping into that. But it does beg a question. By the way, the Prime Minister also made reference to the fact that he's probably going to look very positively upon the idea of importing cannabis into Israel, which seems an interesting idea as well. So I think that, you know, the whole area of the use of cannabis seems to be quite confusing at the moment, because partially it is legal, partially it's not legal, and I think that some clarification would well be welcome. But of course, at the moment, it's all about the elections.
Right, and which actually begs the question what I keep thinking is I'm watching Netanyahu, and some of his comments lately. There's this issue of I think he's stoking the flames of, I think, anti-Arab feeling. He's including a cannabis or marijuana party in what could be his ticket. There does seem to be an element of, I think, desperation in some of his style. He's not behaving as I would have expected him to, given the fact that he's Prime Minister. What are your thoughts on that, Anthony?
Well, I think that, for the very first time, he's really feeling the heat in terms of, Benny Gantz's popularity in the polls. Whereas before, when there was, you know, competition in elections, it was really all about one party against another party without any individual standing up to challenge Netanyahu's position as Prime Minister. He's been really head and shoulders above other individuals on a like for like competition just before the elections. And now all of a sudden we've got Benny Gantz, who's really showed that he can compete on a personal level with the Prime Minister. Let's park the whole issue of the parties for a moment. And I think that this is causing the Prime Minister to feel a lot of heat. And of course, against the backdrop of the indictment that has been recommended by the Attorney General, which we now understand probably won't be heard until at least July or thereabouts, so well after the election. It seems like nothing further will happen on that process until well after the election. I think the Prime Minister is certainly feeling the heat. And I think you're right, there is a certain element of desperation. One would have thought that he would have stuck to his guns, though, to his main policies, without trying to fiddle in, you know, the side issues of cannabis and other things that he's been fiddling with. The whole issue of the Arab parties and their representation in the Knesset is a wider discussion. I don't think that that's a side issue. I think that's a very fundamental issue. And the fact that the Prime Minister might be seen to be meddling in this particular democratic process is a serious issue. And I think that even if there are many people who feel that Arab members of parliament have really abused their position in the Knesset, which I think many of them have, in order to commit treasonous acts against the state of Israel while sitting in the Knesset and having the protection that they have as members of Knesset, is a very serious issue for our democracy. But I think that the Prime Minister should certainly not be advocating in any way anything that would be in opposition to that democracy.
Absolutely. I think there are ways of dealing with that. You know, you've got to look at it on a case by case. And if somebody does abuse the right and does breach parliamentary privilege or rules and regulations, then that's how you deal with it. You don't deal with it on a fundamental level. And I think especially at a time just ahead of the elections where you risk alienating some parts of the population. I think it is quite a dangerous...
It's racist, in fact.
Well, it is.
In fact, I can say that Netanyahu is behaving worse than Julius Malema. The man is outright playing race-baiting politics. It's disgraceful and shameful.
Anthony, your thoughts?
I don't know. I don't know if I would necessarily compare the two of them together.
No, I think Netanyahu's worse. We expect better from him.
What I would say is that, you know, while Howard, I agree with your view that people should be dealt with on an individual basis, there is a very much wider issue. And the wider issue is, do the Arab Israelis who are voting for these candidates expect them as a group to oppose Israeli policies and to act in treasonous ways while being members of Knesset? I think there is a wider issue rather than just the individuals who behave badly. So, you know, that's something that we can perhaps hold for another time. Maybe next Wednesday when Howard is back again, we can have this discussion.
I suspect that there'll be more along these lines to talk about. It is 8:01.